We are definitely going to be hearing more of that song. I'll tell you what, Natalie Grant, the awesome Natalie Grant, singing King of the World. And there are just so many different ways that we can, in our own hearts and minds, make the King to be small. Small in our minds. But he is not small at all. You're listening to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., and we're taking a look at a topic that is so significant for us, always, always a topic, always relevant for mankind, certainly significant today. It has to do with the significance of religious consistency. That's what I'm calling it. The significance of religious consistency. I know some of you were with me several years ago when I was discussing the importance of being consistent and thinking about the impact that inconsistency of people who purport to be people of God has on, well, any number of groups. Inconsistency. We need to ask, what impact does inconsistency of those, especially in leadership positions in the church, have on younger people in the church? And when I say younger, I'm not thinking so much about their chronological natural age as their spiritual age. How long have they been in Christ? How long have they been a Christian? How long have they been born again? And I do realize that just as in the natural sense, also in the spiritual sense, people bring to the table different levels of maturity. There are just some issues that can affect one person or five people or 35 people who are born-again believers. This situation can be a negative situation, and it can impact all 35 of these newborn believers pretty much the same way. You could have two or three other newborn believers who have been born again about the same amount of time as these other 35, but because of the level of maturity within themselves, and the level of stability that they have within themselves, they're not impacted by the same situation nearly as much as the other 35. So I realize we bring to the table different levels of maturity, stability, etc. However, young is still young. And so we have to be thinking about the impact that religious inconsistency can have on believers who are not as settled in the religion as some other people who may have been there for a while. Truth be told, we need to think about the impact that inconsistency, especially amongst quote-unquote Christian leaders, can even have on people who have been in the church for years. Saved, unsaved, going to church, they're in church, but not necessarily in Christ. Maybe they are in Christ and they've been going to church for years. Even they can be impacted in one way or another by inconsistency. The inconsistency of people who are purporting to be Christians, and especially those who are in leadership positions. But how about the impact of inconsistency on people who are not born again? And even within that group, you have, within that subgroup, you have other smaller subgroups, people who are not born again. How about that group, that smaller subgroup of people who are not born again, who have been considering submitting their lives to Christ? What impact does inconsistency of other church members, and especially church leaders, and even more significantly, church leaders who are in the national spotlight? How are these people who are considering being born again impacted by the inconsistency of religious leaders, church leaders? How about those who have made no claims to have an interest, even an interest, in being born again? They're not born again, and they're not talking about ever being born again. Still, what impact does inconsistency of church leaders? And when I say inconsistency, I'm not talking about occasional wrongdoing, occasional errors. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this is lifestyle. This is the way the people live. They say they live this way. They say they are this. They say that this is what they uphold. But then they support positions that are completely contrary to what they claim they support, what they claim is important to them. They support something else totally different. And they support other people who support something totally different. And it's not something, it's not just one issue. There are a number of issues that fit a standard. That fit a standard. A number of issues that fit a standard. That come together, that taken together, comprise a lifestyle. A lifestyle. And this is the way they've lived for years. Incongruency. This is what I stand for, and so I support this. Oh, but this is also what I stand for, so I support it too. And the two are totally contradictory. Total opposites. But they support both. That is the kind of inconsistency that I'm talking about. How does that inconsistency influence people? How does it impact people? Several years ago, we were talking about this a bit, and we were taking a look at the inconsistency of so many people during the days of slavery. And you had people who were Christians who said slavery is wrong. But you also had people who went to church every week, especially every Sunday, and would read the Bible, listen to someone preach about the Bible. Preacher would preach from the Bible. And he would preach that God wanted black people to be enslaved. And many of the congregation members would applaud what they were hearing. And many of them had absolutely no problem whatsoever, no problem with all the atrocities that made slavery what it was. The murders, the rapes, the inhumane treatment of human beings. So many churchgoers, so many quote unquote Christians applauded that. And so you ask the question, wow, what was that lifestyle, what kind of impact was that lifestyle having on other people? Other people being, okay, I just gave my life to Christ. I heard people preaching about God and preaching about Jesus, and I just gave my life to the Lord 2 days ago. and they go to church and hear the sermon supporting the cruel, inhumane treatment of human beings. What kind of impact did that have on them? Other people who don't know the Lord and don't pretend to know Him, don't even suggest that they even want to get to know Him. How were they impacted hearing Christians, quote unquote, just adamantly push for slavery and approve of all the cruel treatment of black human beings? Jim Crow era. Human beings being lynched, beaten, men and women being beaten, shot. And churchgoers approving it. We're in the 21st century. And ladies and gentlemen, as we know, we have people of all ethnicities who support racism and injustice today. Many of them claim that they are born again believers filled with the Spirit of God. Okay, this is what they're saying. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. I'm not going to say yes, they are. I'm not going to say no, they're not. They say they are filled with God's Spirit. And they support laws that make it harder for black people to vote. They will often approve of bad law enforcement officers unnecessarily shooting, in many cases killing, black people who posed no threat whatsoever. And they'll actually make excuses for the bad law enforcement officers. I'm qualifying law enforcement officers with the word bad because, as many of you know, I've said this a number of times before, there are many, many, many law enforcement officers of every ethnicity, including the white race, the white community, who are truly good law enforcement officers. But just like we have bad preachers, we also have bad law enforcement officers. And so we have people who are very inconsistent. And notice I said of all ethnicities. It is not just the white race. We have blacks, Hispanics, and others who come together with white, particularly evangelicals, who say that they are filled with God's Spirit, and yet they do not allow the Spirit of love, because the Bible tells us God is love. And the Bible lets us know that the Holy Spirit is God. They say they have God's Spirit, yet they do not let the Spirit of love determine their position on issues of injustice. Just like people who do not claim to be Christians, they make excuses for injustice. They twist the truth to try to make it seem like injustice is not injustice. And again, people of all ethnicities do this. Some do it simply out of the abundance of hatred that they have in their hearts. Some do it because they've determined that they personally will be able to thrive in this society if they join forces with the white community, that section of the white community who takes these positions and pushes these positions. Very inconsistent. We love everyone. But how does the Lord describe and or define love? He told us, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's the second greatest commandment. Jesus said that, Matthew chapter 22. Love your neighbor the same way that you love yourself. There are many white people who have concluded that they will never be victims of the injustice that they like to help perpetrate. And so they're perfectly fine helping to perpetrate that sin on people of color. Many sins on people of color, making it hard for people of color to vote, making sure that people of color are not treated the same way for the exact same crimes as white people, making sure that they support only those politicians who they know will push laws that will make it harder for black people to afford to get a college education, to be able to get good jobs without being discriminated against. And like I said now, we have quite a few people of color who join with them. And again, not all white people are like that. Many white people are not like that. Remember, there were white people who risked their jobs, their homes, their lives, working diligently against racism and all the ugliness that comes with it. And today, there are many members of the white community who strongly disapprove of these racist antics. And many who speak out against it, many who help to fight against it. While we have people of color joining forces with those who try to make life miserable for people of color. The inconsistency is amazing.